You're listening to the Dog Bite Podcast, an unofficial podcast for Fresno State Athletics. The thoughts and opinions are that of the show host and in no way reflect the thoughts and opinions of the university. Today's episode is brought to you by DKO Digital, servicing all of your computer repair and website design needs. Help them help you. Welcome back, everyone, to the Dog Bite Podcast. My name is Lucio. I'm your host of the show. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in as we continue our ongoing coverage of Fresno State Athletics. With me, as always, Lorenzo Reyna from the Red Zone Frenzy.
Unfortunately, Chris could not be with us. He's currently on spring break. I believe he's taking shots in Cancun. There's no spring break for us, though. We get spring break, winter break, summer break. We get all that rolled into one because there's no school for us.
Well, yeah, it is spring break right now. We're getting close to Easter, but we decided to go ahead and put out a show just for the hell of it. And, you know, we've been off the air for a couple of weeks now, but, taxes came first, and I almost forgot to do mine.
Yeah, Lucille needs money. I mean, I needed money too, but Lucille wants to make sure that he eats and that he has upgrades with the Dog Bite Podcast. But, I mean, you can't turn down money. He's not a professional athlete, but he can't turn down money either.
No, the basis on it is I didn't want to pay money, so I had to get my taxes done. I got pretty close to the deadline by the time I realized that I needed to get them done, and I just procrastinated just a little too long this time.
Well, now that you got that taken care of, I mean, we can cash in big right here.
Yeah, we were supposed to do a show last week, but, you know, we're here now this week, and we're going to go ahead and get started. There's really not that much to cover, but the news that there is to cover, Fresno State baseball, they were pretty hot here for the last few days. They got back on a winning streak again, but then they ran right back into their nemesis of Cal Poly. Cal Poly seems to have their number lately.
You know, I think you could kind of maybe understand why the Western Athletic Conference wouldn't allow Cal Poly to come in. Maybe, in a sense, Fresno State wants something to do with them. I don't know, but they just have our number. It's like the one edge that the Central Coast has over Fresno State. The fact that Cal Poly is a better baseball team.
Yeah, and it's...
When they play against us, at least.
For some reason, they keep... wherever we play them, either here in Fresno or there in San Luis Obispo, they seem to find a way to win. Yeah. And they're actually very proud of themselves. They're riding a 5-game winning streak, counting the game against Fresno State. So they are pretty hot themselves right now.
That game was, who knows, it might have been their World Series right there. You don't know, like, what's going to happen with Cal Poly from here on out. But I will say this, if that's the only topic we could talk about, there are a few others. I mean,
yeah,
the NFL drafts is around the corner.
There's so. More. I just wanted to start off with that one and get that out of the way.
Yeah, plus Chris isn't here. I mean,
yeah, we're down a man today. Chris is on spring break and he is MIA, but, you know, show must go on. Now, the other sport that's in session right now is women's softball. And they've been pretty hot themselves, but I haven't really been following as of late. What's going on with the girls' softball team?
The last time I heard, and I mean, it would have been beneficial if Chris was here, but I did hear that they're ranked in the top 25, and recently they ran into a bus stop with New Mexico State because in their doubleheader, this was, I believe, last Saturday, New Mexico State just ran roughshod over them, but then Fresno State quickly recovered. They swept San Jose State recently, so I don't know their record at the top of my head, but that's pretty much where things stand as of right now.
Yeah, they seem to kind of have a little bit of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of a mentality lately.
I think Chris will have a little bit better of explanations he's like right in front of them.
He's our baseball and softball correspondent, and it's kind of hard to report on him without him here.
Okay, I did get a confirmation that they just cracked the top 25. They're sitting at number 25 right now, and this is according to Mr. Reliable Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. Our other correspondent that's actually sitting in the chat room right now.
Yeah, he's not on spring break, which is good.
Yes. So that's always a good thing. So we, at least we have someone there who can help us report some of the news in the behind the scenes. But other than that, you know, we're going to go ahead and jump right into it.
Jump right into what? Swimming pool?
NFL draft. Okay, I don't have a pool, so we got to move on.
I don't have one either. I have a sprinkler, though.
But, you know, Fresno State has a few players that have drawn some interest in the NFL draft. One of them is Jamal Hamler.
Jamel.
I always say that wrong, don't I?
It's just like Pat Hill. He's like Jamal Hamler, Jalen Sanders.
No, well, Jamal Hamler has drawn some attention from the NFL scouts, one of which I believe is San Francisco, who invited him over to one of their tryout sessions.
I will say that I don't know if anybody has checked out Red Zone Frenzy today, but there is a story on Jamal Hamler. This is pretty much the final draft outlook as we head into the NFL draft, which is next week. Basically, I have just all the attributes that Hamler has. I also have some potential suitors, some potential teams that could fit Hamler's style of play. Now, it's funny you mentioned San Francisco. It's like they got Michael Crabtree already. Vernon Davis is one of their receiving options, even though he's a tight end. They also made a trade for Ted Ginn, so I don't know what kind of room they're going to have for Hamler, other than the fact that maybe you could kind of see that because of Hamler being a Bay Area guy, maybe it would be a good fit. But reportedly, though, Oakland is one of his teams of choices, from what I've been told.
The Oakland Raiders are showing some interest, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I guess they already ran out of faith in Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah, you know what? Jamel could be a good, I believe he's a good possession receiver. He's not afraid to go in the middle and make those tough catches.
Actually, this scouting report says that he is.
He is?
But, I mean, the thing is that I don't know too many wide receivers that actually like going across the middle.
Well, at Fresno State, he seemed to be the one that always went down the middle. So yeah. That report kind of surprises me.
It does, but, I mean, most wide receivers like the deep ball, and Hamler's one of them. But it's kind of funny because you look at Jamal Hamler's speed, he runs only a 4.6. And, I mean, it's like you can see why Fresno State had him going across the middle.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have the wheels to outrun anyone. So he has the hands, so that would make him a good possession receiver
and
right down the middle.
Another thing, too, is that, I mean, you look at last year, Hamler was technically the tallest receiving option that they had because Isaiah Bruce and Jalen Saunders, they weren't 6 feet tall. And Victor Dean, he was on academic thin ice. So Hamler was the only tall option that they had last year.
Yeah, and speaking of Victor Dean, from what I hear at the spring practices, he was quite impressive on some of those catches in the end zone on those fade routes and just going up and catching the ball up and above everyone else.
But I saw this last year. I see this at every practice. So.
The problem is he actually going to play this year?
It's all a matter of him keeping his grades together, because I think if he falls below academically again, it's not going to look too bright for him. But if he was able to practice, that tells me that his academics are currently in order. Now, if that carries over until the fall semester, then you could be seeing a situation where your receiving core is going to be Devin Wiley, if he can ever stay healthy, Jalen and Isaiah, and then maybe the fourth receiver is going to be Victor Dean, because they lost Hamler. They also lost Matt Lindsay, who left the team. So, I mean, there's an opening for Victor Dean.
Did we ever figure out why Matt Lindsay left?
Concussions.
Oh, so he decided to call it a career as far as playing wide receiver.
Unfortunately, he's had some injuries. It's taken a toll. So he did spend some time as a student assistant. So that was the report that I gathered. So
okay, well that would make sense, because it just seemed odd to me. One day he was there, and the next he was gone. And I really didn't hear what the reason was, and that would explain what the whole situation is. Now, going back to the NFL, one of the other players that is also drawing interest is Andrew Jackson, the offensive lineman.
Better known as the president.
The president.
According to some people.
Now, what kind of interest is he drawing from some of those NFL scouts?
You know, size-wise, he's 6'5", 295 pounds. He's somewhere close to 300, but he already has the size to be either a left tackle, even line up at center, or even still be a guard, even though he doesn't have the bulk for the guard position, but he's very versatile. They also love the fact that he was an academic All-American, so he's very intelligent football-wise as well as off the field as well. So, and even though NFL teams are gearing more and more towards throwing the football a lot, they still at some point will run the football, and they like his ability to run block. So he has good athleticism. He has good size. I actually feel like that he could be a pretty good left tackle given his stature plus his athleticism. Now, the issue that I have with him is if he's going to be a guard, I mean, is he going to have the bulk for it? Is he going to have the strength for it? And plus, another thing, too, is that he had a tendency to stand straight up during games, and he was bull rushed.
Yeah, if he stands straight up, he's just going to get blown apart in the NFL. He's going to need a bulk up, put on some muscle, put on some weight, and learn to keep his center of gravity lower to the ground to keep him from getting bull rushed.
Yeah, because guys like B.J. Raji, Haloti Ngata, I mean, the big defensive tackles you hear about in the NFL, they'll swallow him up.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to have to do his homework and really figure out what to do when it comes to the NFL, the level of talent and speed is a whole nother monster in the NFL.
Well, I guess he does do his homework. I mean, he was an academic American for nothing, so. I mean,
you know what I mean.
I think he just has to do, obviously, the film study, but more so the fact that he just needs to put on the extra weight.
Now, those are the obvious players that the NFL is looking at. What are some of the other players that may not, you know, immediately pop up on the radar? Is there other players that left the Fresno State that are making an impact?
Well, here's the thing. I think one guy you left out is Chris Carter. I think he's the number one guy.
You know what? He did slip my mind. Chris Carter. Yes. And what kind of interest is he drawing? What teams are really looking hard at him right now?
Heavy interest. I mean, I think that there's at least 8 teams that could take a look at Chris Carter. And as I mentioned, more and more NFL teams are emphasizing throwing the football. So any team that's looking to reload on defense, they're going to look into shutdown cornerbacks, playmaking safeties, or guys who could rush the passer. Chris Carter could rush the passer. And there's a good number of teams that I truly believe can fit Chris Carter's style of play, regardless if it's a 4-man front or even a 3-4, even if he plays linebacker.
Yeah, I've heard rumors that some of the teams that are interested are thinking at switching him from a defensive end to a linebacker position. Given his size, do you think that's a good idea?
Well, here's the thing. There has been some teams that have thrived with smaller linebackers. I mean, Denver fried with Elvis Dumervil. Elvis Dumervil doesn't even stand at 6 feet tall. Now, granted, he had a season-ending injury this past year, but before that, he had 17 sacks. And another team, if he lines up as a defensive end, Indianapolis could be a potential suitor because they fried with Dwight Freeney and Robert Memphis, two small defensive ends, but they're cat quick. So, and another thing, too, is that there's going to be teams that are going to look to bolster the pass rush. Teams like Buffalo, maybe Cleveland, because they're going with a 4-man front as well. Cincinnati is also reportedly looking for a defensive end. So, I mean, I think out of all the Bulldogs that are going to be entering the draft, I think Chris Carter is going to be the one that gets not only the most interest, but he's the one that's going to get drafted the highest.
Now, where are you projecting that he will probably go? What round?
I'm looking at, I would say, fourth round. And I would say he lands, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say he lands in Denver. Only because John Fox is there. He's a defensive mind. Denver needs its most help on defense. And you get Dumervil coming back. They're probably going to address the interior play because they cut loose Jamal Williams. So I'm thinking they'll get maybe Nick Fairley in the second round. But in the third and fourth rounds, that's when I feel like maybe they'll also take Chris Carter just to help bolster that pass rush. And plus, John Fox is a guy that thrives off of pretty much creating a pass rush scheme. I mean, he did that early on with Carolina, so I wouldn't imagine that he's going to do the same thing in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, Chris Carter would fit just perfect into that into that whole defensive scheme for
It's Denver.
I want to say Carolina for some reason.
That's John Fox was at Carolina.
That's why he used to be at Carolina. So I almost said that also.
Yeah, but I mean Denver's going with a 4-3 front this year.
Yes,
and because John Fox is more of a 4-3 guy.
Yeah, and it looks like John Fox is trying to get some speed, and Chris Carter does have some speed. It's not something that's going to blow you away, but he has decent speed.
He has spectacular speed for defensive end. I mean, he runs a 4.58.
But does that translate well over to linebacker? Is that good speed for a linebacker?
I think it actually is pretty good. I mean, granted, Dante moved Nevada. He had the fastest time. He ran a 4.44.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Moore's probably going to get an easy lock at outside linebacker at some point as well. But I think here's the thing with Carter. Because of his pass rushing ability, either way you look at whether if he's linebacker or defensive end, he's going to rush that quarterback. The big flaw, though, is he's very, very limited with his experience in pass coverage. And so I'm thinking that one of the flaws that could happen with Carter is that say that he has to drop back and help out in coverage, whether if it's with a wide receiver or running back or tight end, that might cause him some confusion because he's used to rushing the passer. He's used to just being in front of the line and just going at it right there. So, I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of teaching if there's a team that's going to bring him in as an outside linebacker.
Yeah, there's going to be a learning curve, that's for sure. Now, other than Chris Carter and the other two players, we start getting into those players that are probably going to be signed on as free agents. Who else even has a shot at even making that from Fresno State?
Ryan Colburn might get drafted. I can't guarantee it, though, because, I mean,
Colburn I see as maybe a free agent to come onto the practice squad here somewhere. I don't see him being drafted in the NFL in any of the, eight rounds?
Seven
rounds. I don't see him being picked up in one of those seven rounds.
I think when you look at it, too, it's like the QB class is actually a lot more deeper than what people think. I mean, you could see three, maybe four quarterbacks get drafted in the first round. That hasn't happened in a long time. And then you have Clinton Portis' cousin. He's a QB that's drawing interest. There's Tyrod Taylor in the later rounds from Virginia Tech. And the other thing, too, is that Colburn didn't exactly do enough to really capture anybody's attention. See, Tom Brandstetter was drafted because he spent 3 years in a pro-style system at Fresno State. Colburn only spent two seasons, and his best season was his senior year. So,
yeah, I mean, that's natural considering that he had to learn his whole first year and learn how to keep those interception ratings down.
Well, his first year was hand off to Ryan Matthews, hand off to Ryan Matthews, hand off to Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews goes down against Nevada. It's like, Coach, Ryan Matthews is coming back, right?
Throw it to the opposite team.
That's how you felt.
That's all he did this first season. I see him as a potential free agent practice squad player.
Plus, another thing, too, is that some scouts don't really like his delivery when it comes to throwing the football because he tends to show a slingshot delivery.
Well, one of the things that actually some of the scouts actually like is the fact that he's a lefty. There's not very many left-handed quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's a unique trait to have in the NFL because it's tougher to defend against.
Maybe it explains why Tim Tebow had that brief run of success. or it explains why Michael Vick took off finally after two years in the joint.
Yeah, I am. Another item I wanted to cover tonight before we...
Jeremy just confirmed something that there's one mock draft that actually has Chris Carter going round three to San Francisco. Now, San Francisco wasn't a team that I had as a potential suitor for Chris Carter, but you never really can know because, I mean, outside of Patrick Willis, nobody else from that linebacker core really stands out.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco needs all the help they can get as far as I'm concerned. It is my team, and they've been struggling as of late.
And it's Jeremy's team.
Yeah, so if they do land him, that would be an actual upgrade to the team. So... But another item I wanted to cover tonight before we start wrapping things up around here, The NCAA made some changes or tweaks to the upcoming year's rules. Did you see that I posted? They actually made changes without actually making changes. It was kind of, it didn't make any sense to me.
Well, did you see an ESPN column that basically said that they should blow up the NCAA because it's pointless now?
Yeah, the NCAA is becoming very, let me see, how do I put this, very diplomatic.
No class at all, NCAA.
There you go. They are showing absolute disregard for anything right now. The changes they made on the rule book, really, if you look at it, they really didn't change anything.
It's a corrupted system. I mean, there's so many things about the NCAA. I can have a list of all the transgressions, all the BS that they have. One of them, I'm sure you know by now, that there was a betting scandal between some University of San Diego basketball players.
Yeah, from what I hear, there was a point shaving incident. One of the basketball players, the star of the team, was accused of point shaving. And from what I hear, there might have been another, maybe another one or two players on the same team, a number of players from other teams around the nation. So there's this big old point shaving conspiracy going on right now in the NCAA. It's getting bad.
From reports that I gathered, I believe there was at least 10 players and even some coaches that got involved. So this is the latest big scandal involving no class at all NCAA.
Now, if you are interested in knowing what kind of rule changes that they instituted, you can go over to the Dog Bite Podcast website. I posted an article there that with all the different little tweaks and changes that the NCAA supposedly made that actually... If you read it, they really didn't change anything. They just wanted to make it look better for them. But one of the rules that they did institute was a 10-second runoff for penalties that the NFL has been doing for about a decade now. So basically, they didn't make a change. They basically caught up with the times is all they did.
You know, that's something Al Davis should do. Maybe if he does that, the Raiders would actually be a contender.
Ouch, ouch, ouch. But as far as other things that are going on, Bobby Knight from ESPN made a comment about, I believe, University of Kentucky, talking about how a lot of the players are coming in and are basically, for basketball, coming in and playing one season and then they're gone. But Bobby Knight, for some reason, kind of... took a dig at University of Kentucky. Instead of making it a broad statement, he made it personal between him and that coach.
John Calipari.
Rumors are they don't really like each other.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Bobby Knight because we could have gotten his son, Pat Knight.
Yeah, Pat Knight was considered to be one of the candidates to come to Fresno State to be the next head coach of the basketball team. Unfortunately, well... Maybe fortunately that didn't work out.
Well, some people wanted his dad to come here, so
I don't know. I don't know if I would have been able to handle his on-court antics.
I don't think so. He's gonna throw chairs. He's gonna do this whole like, I hope they bear me upside down so my Chris could, you know what? I'm sure you know the rest.
Yeah, but basically what Bobby Knight was saying that the players that come into the NCAA for basketball that are one and done is actually no good for the whole system. It's actually a bad thing. Basically what he's saying is players should stick around for more than one season, and they should make that, institute that as a rule, similar to what the NFL is doing, that you can only be eligible to go to the pros after your junior year, which, you know what, I think should be a rule altogether. I don't like this one and done deal that's going on.
I don't
on.
Like it either.
Making players stay longer means that they have a bigger shot at actually graduating, because some of these players will leave and never come back to school again.
It sounds too much. If they're going to be one and done, I mean, what's the point of them even attending school? They're pretty much, if they're going to be one and done, that pretty much is telling me that all you really care about is this guy playing for your basketball team, getting you a national championship banner. I mean, it needs to be more than just about that.
And the whole system is so corrupt because some of these players that are coming in that are being one and done, there's been rumors that boosters handing off money to them, bags of money, even giving them jobs that they're really not working, supposedly, and they're giving them the money, which basically they're not even supposed to be working while they're in
school. You know, I don't know if you saw that ESPN article, but this writer was pretty much pointing out, don't let the NCAA look into this. Let the FBI, let the feds look into this matter. Because the way I see it, there's a lot of criminal activity going on.
Well, they might be getting their wish, because the whole situation of the point shaving, that's a federal offense. And right now, if they dig up more dirt, the FBI might be sticking their nose into it and actually digging up more and more of what's wrong with the whole system. And if that happens, the NCAA could blow up, literally.
The FBI should also look into the BCS.
Well, you know what? There has been rumors of a congressional Congress trying to put a committee together to investigate the BCS.
Yeah, I mean, Congress came after them a few years ago.
Especially after the whole incident in Arizona for the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
And that ties into what's going on with the NCAA.
And right now, there is so much hot water on the NCAA and the BCS. I wouldn't be surprised if an investigation has already been opened by Congress. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see and kind of feel around to see what happens.
We need a strap C4. We need to press the detonator on the NCAA. It's just, I mean...
Well, the NCAA is so backwards, okay? There's the way they handle everything, fair inequality, there's nothing fair about what's going on in the NCAA. They cater to the high paid programs, the universities that make the most money, which is basically corrupt, because the more money you have, the more you can buy from the NCAA. They'll bend the rules more for you. Say, just like Ohio State. Ohio State is getting the rules bent very, very hard for them. I mean, it is not it. If it was Fresno State, we would already receive the death penalty.
Yeah, and I mean, the only reason why Ohio State to me hasn't received the death penalty is because they're Ohio State. Because Jim Tressel's good for college football, apparently. So is Terrell Pryor. They're giving them a chance to still be on the football field. And the Sugar Bowl committee, they held Ohio State's hand. They held Ohio State's hand during leading up to that game against Arkansas.
Well, what I don't get is how Jim Tressel, the coach of Ohio State, still has a job and still has the ability to even the possibility coaching this upcoming season. That is something that the NCAA needs to take a hard look at themselves, and they need to figure out that they're doing something very wrong, and in the public eye, they're being judged very hard.
And apparently Tressel knew about these transgressions too.
I mean, if it was any other coach in the US in a mid-major or even a lesser program, he would have been fired and even suspended and maybe even banned for life from the NCAA. So they need to take a hard look at themselves before they say that they're fair and equal to all of the programs
or
in
fair
the NCAA.
And balance.
They're not. They're not. And they know it. And right now they're being scrutinized really heavily, and they don't like being scrutinized. So, you know, maybe things might be changing a little bit here.
They're like the ugly duckling that doesn't want to be looked at, I guess.
but
you know, they made themselves ugly, so it's not our fault.
They made their own bed. They chose to go that route. Right now, there's a lot of different contracts being signed as far as TV contracts with the different networks. I heard the Mountain West came out with a new TV contract that it won't be on Versus or the other one anymore.
I believe it'll
be
NBC.
NBC.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the other network, but
it has to be somebody that's affiliated with NBC.
Yeah, it's an NBC or CBS, something like that.
Well, CBS right now has the SEC, so they have to promote their games.
Which is good news for Fresno State, since they will be heading into the Mountain West next season. They need to get a better TV contract, because being on Versus and the other... It just doesn't work out.
You know what? Hockey doesn't even work for Versus either.
And the fact is I want to be able to watch them, and I might not be able to if they do that. And I'm going to miss ESPN. That's for sure, because I loved watching the games on ESPN. There's nothing like the ESPN.
Yeah,
right now.
I'm especially going to miss Aaron Andrews and Jim Brown.
Also, coming. Another one that got a new TV contract would be, the Big 12.
Yeah.
Not the Big 12, the Pac 12.
The Pac.
I get those two mixed up sometimes.
Well,
they both.
Well, one of them has 12 teams. The other one is missing two teams.
Well, the Pac 12 now has signed a new TV contract with Fox, I believe, Fox Sports.
Yeah. It explains because Fox is mostly based out of LA.
So basically, right now, a lot of money is being is changing hands now. New TV revenue is being distributed. The question is, when the BCS is up, what's going to happen? Because BCS is going to the BCS contract, I believe, is up in two seasons.
I think so too.
So a whole nother renegotiation is going to happen, and then they have to reevaluate which conferences are going to be BCS conferences. So the next couple of years are going to be very important for the Mountain West. They need to have a good showing. And I hate to do it, but we have to root for Boise State to continue their run.
Well, they're going to continue the run anyway. TCU's leaving.
And Fresno State's going to have to
catch up.
And
maybe Air Force can tag along. Maybe San Diego State, even though they lost Brady Hoke. I'll tell you what, though. College basketball. I know you don't get into college basketball, but the Mountain West to me is going to be stronger than ever basketball wise.
You know, I don't watch much basketball or really get into it, but I do pay attention to the conference alignments that they make and stuff. And I too took notice that that should be a very strong conference as far as the Mountain West is concerned. Next year, I wouldn't be surprised if three.
Well, they have three teams usually.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised after Fresno State, Nevada, and Hawaii get into the Mountain West if there isn't three or maybe even four teams that make it into the college tournament.
You know, Boise State had a pretty strong year in the WAC this past season on the basketball front. UNLV is pretty much an NCAA tournament regular. San Diego State was a top five program, and. I mean, Air Force has had a string of success. Maybe with Rodney Terry at Fresno State, you might see the Bulldogs as an NCAA tournament regular. I mean, in a sense, to me, they might be stronger in the college basketball front versus the college football front. If they're not going to be strong in college football, you still got basketball.
Yeah, so it's basically they have to try to balance. When they were adding the teams into the conferences, they were trying to balance between those two sports. The other sports they really didn't care about because these two sports are actually the money makers of the whole conference.
And sometimes when you look at it, if you're powerful in one area, in one sporting area, chances are you'll be weak in the other one. I mean, look at the SEC. They're big in football, but in basketball, not so much. The ACC, they're terrible in football, but they're the truth in basketball. Big East as well.
Well, the Big East?
Well, not in football, but in basketball. Now, they did get slapped in the face earlier. They got slapped in the face early, but Connecticut, a Big East team, still won the national title. And that was because Butler couldn't score in the paint.
I was going to say, Big East didn't do very well, period, except for winning the whole thing.
It was a big year for Connecticut. I mean, they played in the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, they got smothered, but they won the national title.
Now, we're getting close to... football's pretty much wrapped everything up right now. They won't be practicing again for another couple of months.
They're going to have their summer practices, but the real stuff won't be until August.
Yeah, so things are going to start trickling in kind of slowly for us, but we're going to do what we can to keep reporting on whatever we can dig up.
Maybe some of the football camps, like Fresno State has their football camp. Now, there's the camp.
What other sports are getting ready to kick up gear right now?
Pretty much just football. I mean, there's volleyball, but then
there's soccer.
Yeah. Soccer, cross country, but I know nothing about that other than they run.
Oh, man. So we're going to dig up whatever we can. Well,
it's mostly going to be football. Let's be real. It's going to be football.
That is our bread and butter, but we'll keep finding what else we can report on, even if we have to report on more national stories.
Now, last year, the big issue was the Mountain West
and
the realignment. Now, I don't see that happening this time around, but if the NCAA tanks, count on us to gather together.
No, we were busy talking last year. All we talked about was conference realignment all about this time last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is some rumblings of more changes on the horizon as far as college football realignment, and I'm keeping an eye on that. There might be some news breaking here pretty soon.
Maybe Boise State joins the Big 12.
That's not going to happen.
I don't think so either. Not at Boise.
But you know, we're gonna track that down and see what else is going to happen, because there's rumors of more teams being added. There's rumors of Louisiana Tech possibly finally leaving the Western Athletic Conference. So I've been kind of monitoring that bit, because the Sun Belt is trying to reposition themselves.
Well, I do have a source down in Ruston that might help me out.
Well, get on it. Is it your brother over
yeah.
there? Yeah. Call your brother and see what's going on over there.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have plenty to say.
He might have some more rumors for us over there. But other than that, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping up our show. Look for our other show, the Friday Night Football Podcast. We're going to be kicking that one up here probably in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, especially with the football camps going on. We're going to definitely get you geared up for that as well.
Yeah, we'll let you know more about it once we know more about it. We're still trying to work out a schedule of what we're going to do with that. And there's another thing in the works right now that I can't really share right now, but we're trying to figure that out before we go any further with that.
The cat stays inside the bag right now.
Yeah, until we can figure that out. But other than that, any final thoughts, Lorenzo?
Well, if you are on spring break, I do will say that hopefully you enjoy yourselves, be safe, come back home safely. And another thing too is that Easter's coming up. Happy Easter to everybody. I mean, enjoy yourselves. It's a day meant to be enjoyed.
Yeah, make sure you find all those eggs. Don't forget any out there, because you know, if you leave them out there too long, they might start stinking.
Yeah, I need to take that cue, because I'm probably gonna go hunting this Sunday.
But you know, it's,
and Lucille's gonna be the Easter bunny.
Oh yeah. You can't pay me enough to get in one of that suits, man. I'm telling you.
I had a dream I was the Easter Bunny.
I got a couple of little boys who are just going to be excited to go hunting for their eggs. So, you know, we're going to have fun this Easter. And I hope everyone enjoys their holidays with their family. Make sure you go see your loved ones this upcoming weekend. That's what it's all about. But, you know, I want to thank everyone again for tuning in. And make sure you head over to DKO Digital. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show. They are our sponsors. They help us with any kind of web design or computer repair that we need. Head over to their site, DKODigital.com. Give them the promotion code of DOGBITE, and you get 50% off any kind of repair work or website design that you may need. So, again, make sure you check them out. Help them help you.
Help them help you, right?
All right. So, other than that, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Have a great Easter, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time.